As you know, there are three big convergence theorems in the Lebesgue theory. There's the Lebesgue monotone convergence theorem, there's Fatou's lemma, and now we're going to see the third one, which in some sense is the most powerful one and the one that is used the most frequently, and that is the Lebesgue dominated convergence theorem. And it says this: let Fj be a sequence of integrable functions which converges almost everywhere to a measurable function f. If there is an integrable function g, so that absolute fj is less than or equal to g for all j, then f is integrable. F, the limit function, is integrable, and the integral of f d mu is equal to the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral of the fj's. So just as a mental exercise, you should compare this with the standard result in Riemann integration theory, which says that if the fj's converge uniformly to f, then you get a similar conclusion. The hypothesis of the Lebesgue-dominated convergence theorem is much more flexible. So for a proof, by simply redefining fj and f to equal 0 on a set of measures 0, we may assume that the convergence takes place on all of x. So that's just a little convenient trick that we use sometimes. We may infer from the corollary of the previous lecture that f is integrable. And since g plus fj is bigger than or equal to 0 for every j, we may apply Fatou's lemma to find that the integral of g plus the integral of f equals the integral of g plus f equals the integral of the lim-inf of g plus fj. And by Fatou, this is less than or equal to the lim-inf of the integral of g plus fj, which is the lim-inf of the integral of g, plus the integral of fj, which is the integral of g plus the lim-inf of the integral of fj. It follows, by cancellation of the integral of g from both sides, that the integral of f is less than or equal to the limit for the integral of the fj's. So that's half the battle there. Since g minus fj is bigger than or equal to 0 for every j, we may again apply Fatou's lemma as well as the additivity of the integral to obtain. And this is a similar argument now, just the minus signs in slightly different places. The integral of g minus the integral of f equals the integral of g minus f, which is the integral of the lim-inf as j goes to infinity of g minus fj, which by Fatou is less than or equal to the lim-inf of the integral of g minus fj, which is the integral of g minus the lim-inf of the integral of fj. Canceling the integral from g from both sides, we get that the lim sup of the integral of the fj's is less than or equal to the integral of f. So we're using here the fact that the lim sup is minus the lim inf minus, which is a standard sort of trick that we've seen before. Now, combining formulas 2 and 3, we conclude that the integral of f is the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral of the fj's, and that's what we wanted to know. That's the end of the proof. So here's a very simple example. So we work with Lebesgue measure on the real line. Let fj be the characteristic function of the interval j plus 1. Then it is easy to see that there is no integrable function g with fj less than or equal to g, because the function g would have to be 1 everywhere, and that's not integrable. And thus we may not apply the dominated convergence theorem to conclude that the limit as j goes to infinity of integral fj equals the integral of the limit as j goes to infinity of fj, and that's a good thing because in fact they're not equal. On the left-hand side you'd have a 1, and on the right-hand side you'd have a 0. In the next two examples, we'll use a version of the dominated convergence theorem that is a bit different from the formulation in the formal theorem itself, namely instead of a sequence of functions fj, we'll instead have a continuum of functions f sub t parametrized by a parameter t and consider the limit as t goes to t naught of f sub t. These two processes are in fact logically equivalent just because the limit as t goes to t naught of f sub t equals L if and only if the limit as j goes to infinity of f sub tj of x equals L for every sequence tj tending to t naught. So that's a standard logic trick that we run across in analysis all the time, that you can replace the limit over all possible sequences with the limit over a continuum. Okay? Not a big deal. So here's an example that's kind of interesting. We'll work with Lebesgue measure on the real line. Let us show that the function capital F at t, which is the integral from 0 to infinity of e to the minus x cosine of pi t x d mu x, is continuous. And that's intuitively appealing, but it's nice to have a way to show it rigorously. We intend to apply the dominated convergence theorem, with g of x being the characteristic function of 0 infinity times e to the minus x, which of course equals e to the minus x for x bigger than or equal to 0 and 0 for x less than 0. Obviously, a g is measurable, and the characteristic function of 0 infinity times e to the x times cosine pi t is measurable for each t because e to the minus x is continuous and characteristic function 0 infinity is measurable. We need to know that the integral of g is less than infinity, but the monotone convergence theorem tells us that the integral of g is the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral of the characteristic function from minus j to j times g, and that's the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral over r of the characteristic function of 0j times e to the x d mu, which is the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral from 0 to j of e to the minus x d mu. And of course, this is just equal to 1 by the standard theory of Riemann improper integrals. So the integral of g is certainly finite. Now we may apply the dominated convergence theorem just because the absolute value of the characteristic function of 0 to infinity times e to the minus x times cosine pi t x is less than or equal to g for each x t in R2. Note here that the function t goes to chi 0 to infinity of x e to the minus x cosine pi t x is continuous for each fixed x. We conclude that the limit as t goes to t naught of capital F t equals capital F of t naught. That's just the last line there. We use the dominated convergence theorem with g as the dominating function. So that's what we wanted to show. For the next example, we're going to justify a very standard operation in mathematical analysis, which is called differentiating under the integral sign. You may have heard of the famous physicist Richard Feynman, and he used to say that when he was asked a question that he really didn't know how to answer, he would impress people by how smart he was by always saying, differentiate under the integral sign. And now we'll see how that works in practice. So assume that f from r cross r to r satisfies a, x goes to f super t of x, which is f of x comma t, is measurable for each fixed t. Secondly, f super t naught of x, which is f of x t naught, is integrable for some fixed t naught. And finally, partial f with respect to t exists for each x t. Further, suppose that there is an integrable function g from r to r, so that partial f with respect to t is dominated in absolute value by g for each value of the variables x and t. Then the function x goes to fxt is integrable for each t, and the function capital Ft, which is the integral over r of f super t, which is the integral over r of f of x comma t, is differentiable with derivative f prime t, is the derivative with respect to t of the integral over r of fxt d mu x, which is the integral over r of d dt fxt d mu x. So if you stare at this formula that we just wrote down, you can see that we are passing the derivative d dt under the integral sign. And that's the process of differentiating under the integral. Okay, so we'll use the theory developed so far to see why this process is valid. For each t not equal to t naught, apply the mean value theorem to the function t goes to fxt to find a number c between t naught and t, so that fxt minus fxt naught equals the partial derivative of f with respect to t at x comma c times t minus t naught. So that's just a standard mean value theorem. It follows that absolute value fxt minus fxt naught is less than or equal to gx times t minus t naught, where g is as we defined it a few moments ago. And therefore, by the triangle inequality, absolute value fxt is less than or equal to absolute value fxt naught plus gx times t minus t naught. Therefore, the integral over r of fxt is less than or equal to the integral over r of fxt naught plus gx times t minus t naught, which is equal to the integral of fxt naught in absolute value plus absolute t minus t naught times the integral over r of gx. This shows that the function x goes to fxt is integrable for each fixed t. So that's good. To establish the formula for capital F prime, consider any sequence tj with the limit as j goes to infinity of tj equals t, and tj not equal to t for each j. We claim that the limit as j goes to infinity of ftj minus ft over tj minus t equals the integral over r of partial with respect to t of fxt d mu x. In fact, we have that ftj minus ft over tj minus t equals the integral over r of fxtj minus fxt over tj minus t. That's just using the definition of capital F. And that's, by definition, the integral over r of f sub j of xt, where we're defining f sub j to be the integrand fxtj minus fxt over tj minus t. Observe that for each fixed x, we know that the limit as j goes to infinity of f sub j of xt is the partial with respect to t of fxt. That's just the definition of the partial derivative. And therefore, formula 1 will follow from the dominated convergence theorem once we establish that absolute fjxt is less than or equal to gx for each x. But that claim follows from another application of the mean value theorem, because there is a c prime between t and dj, with c prime, of course, depending on x and t, such that f sub j of xt equals fxtj minus fxt over tj minus t, which is the partial derivative of f with respect to t, evaluated x and c prime. Therefore, absolute fjxt is less than or equal to gx for each x, and that's what we wanted to know. That's the end of today's lesson. Thank you for listening.